In a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Henson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
First, I need to start with a show. I have no idea if you've seen anything.
Sure.
It is a show near and dear to my heart. It originated in 2009 on FX. It is called Archer. Have we talked about Archer?
I don't think we've talked about it on air.
Yes.
But I think you and I have, we've at least commented. I don't remember in what fashion or what media we were doing it into, but we have spoken about it before.
April 25th, 2019, season 9 of Archer will begin on FX. Seasons 1 through 8 are currently on Hulu, and so I've just been re-enjoying them again.
It is highly quotable. Highly quotable, and like it likes to reinvent itself to a certain degree season by season.
Danger Zone! So here's the deal with Archer. Archer is, in essence, an oaf, but he's a very handsome super spy where everything always works out for him.
Think Get Smart.
Like a
much more mature.
Imagine if James Bond acted like Get Smart.
With Maxwell Smart?
Yeah, him. So James Bond, all this and that, all chicken to boner.
There you go.
But he's acting like Maxwell Smart.
Which by the way, I could do an additional pot. The original Get Smart, not talking about the Steve Carell film. I'm not talking about the very short-lived Fox reboot that starred Andy Dick. The original, yes. Look it up, 1990s.
No, I can't, no.
You don't want
horrible.
To. It only lasted, I want to say, 6 episodes.
Ooh.
But it does feature the original Maxwell. Like, it's got...
We're spending too much time talking about something that sounds terrible.
I'm just saying. Yeah. The original, that's what... Okay. I'm just saying, like, as a child, like... And again, I didn't realize, like, Bewitched, Get Smart. I didn't realize that they weren't first run. Like, I didn't understand what Nick at Night was. Like, I didn't even question the fact that some of them were in black and white. Like, I'd watch Green Acres. I'd watch Bewitched. I'd see all this stuff, and I'm just like, oh, this is great. It's not until years later I realize I'm like, oh, this show is 30 years old. I want to say I saw in an interview with, like, Elizabeth Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, wow, she has... Why did she age so suddenly? And then they're just like, well, because that show premiered in the 60s, Adam, and it's the late 80s. And I'm like, time passes.
She had great eyebrows.
That's
anyway. So Archer, he works for a black ops operation that his mother runs. Archer's codename is Duchess, named after her favorite dog. Archer was basically raised by an older man who is like his valet, butler type. His Batman guy. What's his
Alfred?
Name?
Alfred.
His Alfred.
Sure,
yeah,
there we go.
That Batman guy. However, the thing with Archer is this is a very mature show.
Much in the same way that, at least when it premiered, The Simpsons was for an older audience.
Which is so hard to believe now.
When Elvis used to dance and he would pelvically thrust, like, it was thought obscene. They wouldn't video him below the waist. I'm just saying, and if you look at any of that footage now, you're just like, okay, where's the scandalous part?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to look at the prism of, like, time that it's looked on as well. But, like, Archer, even though it is animated, is not for kids.
Archer is a very tightly written comedy, but in the world of TV before streaming, it would air on Cinemax late Friday nights.
Like, it just, you need to keep that in mind. If you're hearing it and just being like, oh, it's a cartoon.
No.
The boys love cartoons.
I hear Bob's Burgers voice. Yes, it is the same voice actor. And they have played that to much hilarity. However, not for kids. That being said, it is so funny. And one of the reasons I think it's funny is, much like Family Guy, not as funny now, but much like Family Guy, not afraid to go there. I mean, there is Krieger, oddly German-sounding name, and he is their M, so to speak. He's their science guy. And if you're paying attention to all of his asides, which it's really easy to lose his asides.
Wouldn't it be Q?
Yes, it would be Q.
M was Judy Dench.
Yeah, right.
Well, amongst other people.
Yes, it was a letter.
And anyway. not Q in Star Trek either. There's lots of letters.
Okay. So anyway, he's clearly the son of Nazi scientists from Argentina. And it's just so many politically incorrect remarks.
I think that's the most gentle way to put it.
And it's so very funny.
It's very quippy.
Like, yes.
It's just the, again, like, I think there's a certain stigma with animation that some people don't realize how tightly written, how funny, or how clever some of these, and for whatever reason, I think you're also allowed to get away with a lot more in animation than you are in live action. Like, South Park's initial season did the exact same thing. Like, they pushed the boundaries that if you would have tried this, like, adjacently in a live-action show, like, I guarantee you would not even have gotten past the script stage. They would just be like, no, you absolutely cannot do this.
So, in Archer, you're not seeing animated full frontal nudity or anything like that. You're seeing adult situations, and it's just one level of comedy piled on top of another. In the first season, one of the repetitive things is, and this is how we get ants. Just a funny thing.
Do you want this? This is how we get ants.
there's so many quotable things about Archer, and so many that I would love to quote and just can't. But it's great. Now, the film noir season wasn't my favorite. I think that was season 7.
I mean, there's also one that's essentially set like in the Scarface era.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it just this show is not afraid to reinvent itself or go for broke. Like in like you said, like what other show can you name from the past 20 years that has a film noir season, has an 80s action like season, has also is a spoof to a certain degree of James Bond, like.
And all of the Burt Reynolds stuff is so funny because Archer loves Burt Reynolds and he loves the...
Why is that strange?
It's,
who doesn't?
But all he does is talk about Burt Reynolds films and Gator and his tactile turtleneck. And it's just, oh, it makes me so happy, truly. They did a whole Smokey and the Bandit thing where their HR rep, Pam, who was a plus-sized woman, did so much cocaine she lost weight, but then decided, you know, the cocaine eventually wasn't going to work out for her. But you see, they just made the whole cocaine doing thing a joke. Normally, it doesn't sound funny.
No.
But you see, it had to do with ISIS needing money, and they had to steal. It's a thing, okay? It's a very complicated thing.
The jokes that they make are... Like I said, they're not afraid to make a joke about somebody using cocaine to lose weight. And I'm not suggesting that anybody should try that.
No.
But understand, like, it's done in an animated setting.
Yes.
And, like, most of these characters are doing something far-fetched. I would say, by comparison to some episodes, that's one of the tamer things that they
do. I'm trying to think of things I can actually tell you about. And I'm really not coming up with anything except it is very clever, very well acted, and highly entertaining, not suitable for children.
No, I, yeah.
In as much as mine have wandered in the middle of stuff, and it's like, because who knows what they're going to say next. I mean,
much in this, like, Quentin Tarantino is an exceptional writer-director.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you should watch it for all of, like, this is not a Christmas morning kind of show.
No.
Like, don't watch this with the fam at 6 o'clock before everybody goes to bed. Probably a poor idea.
So, the latest, I believe, is called, what does this say? It says it's going to premiere in 2018, Danger Island, season 9. What, did I misread something? Maybe I misread something. All I know is they keep showing stuff saying that Archer is about to pop back up. Yeah. Oh, in the 9th season, they went, hold on. Danger Island was the last one. All right. And that was much like, I don't want to say a Tarzan movie. It was more like the time in which Indiana Jones was set, though it wasn't really an Indiana Jones type of film. You know what I mean? Anyway, the entire series is available now on DVD, and now I'm just lost. Are they not making any more? What?
If it is an FX series, would that not mean that Disney currently owns it?
Yes. Yes, it does. I see why I thought it was coming out. The DVD is coming out, not season 9. The DVD on season 9 is coming out. Anyway, Archer is something worth owning. That's all I'm saying. I find it incredibly funny, and I want everyone to love it.
I think it'll be interesting if that goes to Disney Plus. The Simpsons are going to Disney Plus.
They are?
Yes. They announced it recently, within this last week, but it was just interesting.
With considering who owns what, I feel like the big four are now moving into streaming, and the big four are now going to be Disney, CBS All Access, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon 5. Just like we only have four stations to watch. Now, in a way, we only have four or five services to watch.
And I mean, like, keep
again,
in mind,
first world problems.
The funny thing about the networks, like Fox, like not in its entirety, a lot of those properties are now owned by Disney, and Disney does own ABC.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's interesting. And the other thing about that, like Netflix used to be kind of your go-to place for it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had a little bit of everything. I think Disney saw like that cake and they're mm-hmm. just like, that is a huge, delicious looking cake.
Now I want cake.
Wait
Thanks,
a minute.
Adam.
What all do we own? And I think they started looking back through like their film archives, the shows that they own through ABC. And I really, once they knew that they were getting 20th Century Fox, and you look at Fox Broadcasting, mm-hmm. the 20th Century Fox films, even like Fox Searchlight, like I think they realized how much content they were going to have. And they're like, why are we letting Netflix be the middleman here? Why aren't we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a little sorry for CBS All Access in that. I mean, and they're not hurting. Like,
no.
I mean, they've got, you know, Twilight Zone. They've got Star Trek. Like, and CBS has a great deal of content.
Mm-hmm.
But not whenever you start butting it up against, like,
Disney.
Netflix and Disney Plus are, I'm kind of interested to see this matchup.
I mean, Disney is going to air all of their films, I would assume. They'll all live there unless you purchase it like through Amazon or through Vudu. You can buy it, I guess. Can you buy it somewhere else? I don't know.
Probably.
Anyway.
Maybe.
But when you think of what they own, I mean, they're going to have the entire everything Star Warsian they've got. So that's a few people like that stuff.
Well, and 20th Century Fox had at least, I want to say, a 20 to 40% stake in Hulu,
mm-hmm.
which would probably mean that Disney now has, I think, that would put them at like a 60% mm-hmm. share in Hulu. So like they own two of the big stations, Fox and ABC, and they own two of the streaming. Disney Plus has not come out yet, but I'm going to go ahead and say, like, especially with the price point that they announced it at, which is $5.99, if I'm remembering correctly, is that half of what Netflix is going for now?
Is that going to be? So $5.99 is CBS All Access, but that's with commercials, which are very annoying.
And
is this
CBS,
a commercial thing?
And CBS All Access does not have the wealth of library.
Which is also annoying. CBS All Access, you're doing it wrong.
The Paramount split from...
Explain it to me.
Paramount is no longer, like, doesn't have an ownership stake in CBS. At one point they did, and that's the reason why the Star Trek films and everything kind of jointly went together.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever they split... Like, CBS All Access would definitely have benefited from having, like, Paramount's library.
Of course.
They wouldn't have had any Indiana Jones because that was part of the Lucasfilm deal. But I'm saying, like, Paramount's made a couple movies here and there.
Oh, yeah.
And at this point in the game, you want all of the content that you can get your hands on. Which is, I think, more or less what Netflix was doing. They were just like, we're going to make original content. We're going to get your favorite sitcoms. We're going to get this. Like, there's something for everybody there.
And as Netflix has clearly shown, and I know you and I do the same thing, there are shows that we will just rewatch. I mean, I've seen all of Archer.
Over.
And when I get ready in the morning, when no one else is in the house, I put on Archer.
I think it's really interesting that Universal and NBC have not put their, like, either put, like, something into the ring for this or partnered up with one of them, because Universal has got an incredible film library.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Jurassic Park films, Jaws, Back to the Future. Like, they have a lot of content, and NBC, I don't know how much of a stake they owned in, like, Friends or Seinfeld or any of those. But, I mean, these are properties that people would and still do watch.
Yeah.
And if you've got, like, Universal owns NBC in the same way that Disney owns Fox and ABC. CBS All Access does not have Paramount any longer. But I'm saying, like, you almost have to get those conglomerates together if you're going, like... You're not going to be able to fight it on your own. You've got to have allies in this fight, if you will. And again, this is all first world stuff. But if you don't want to get crushed, and right now it looks like CBS All Access is going to be the one that gets smacked out of the ring the first.
Mm. So back to Archer.
Sure.
Just because I read it wrong. Archer season 10 is coming out, or is probably out now. It's out in April. And it's called Archer 1999. That's... Now, for those who may wonder, you had Archer crime and all this stuff. You know, there's always going to be a backstory as to what they're actually doing and connections and this and that. But when it got to, I think, season 6 or 7, Archer was gravely hurt. So all of the seasons that have followed has been a result of Archer being in a coma. So, Archer 1999 leads me to assume he is still in a coma, and so all of this is taking place in his imagination.
Because of when I was born, 1999 still seems like it's
so
futuristic.
Far away. I know.
To me, and I'm. Are they doing it as a period piece, or are they jokingly?
I don't even know if they have said yet.
I mean, for a long time, 1999 and 2000 were just, I mean, including that in your title, like you had the Blues Brothers film that came out in 1998 called Blues Brothers 2000 because it was now, it was the future. It's terrible, but it was still.
Okay. I don't remember this part. Allegedly, since the end of season 7, he's in a cryogenic pod on board a spaceship. I don't remember that at all. I just remember him being in a coma. Anyway, And of course, everyone's going to be there. What can I say? I'm confused. I don't know if it's going to be in the future or anything. I just know Archer is hilarious, and I just wanted to tell you that.
That's really what you should take away from this part of the podcast. Like,
Archer's hilarious.
Archer is funny. Like, and I don't know any other show that jumps around with its background as much. Like, Archer 1999, like, you had basically, like, Archer doing a Miami Vice, like, one seat. Like, it's
what's
just
his name from Mr. Robot? Not the guy that won. What's his name?
Rami Malek is the only
no,
name.
No,
that
no,
is,
no, no. It's an 80s star. It's the Goldbergs. Oh, what's his name? Nah, it's coming to me. I can see him. He grins a lot.
If you could give me more information than you're giving me. Like, a lot of stuff happened in the 80s. Like, just telling me 80s is not sufficient information to zero me in.
I can see him. I know his name. It's really bothering. Christian Slater.
Sure. How was I supposed to get Christian Slater?
Usually Christian. You're good at this. I said, Mr. Robot, in the 80s, you should have been there.
I apologize. Yes. I'm tired. I'm tired today, folks. I need to get some shut-eye.
I mean, who else could it have been? You've seen Mr. Robot. Who from the 80s is in there? Other than Christian Slater. There. I said it. Anyway, he is in a season or two of Archer as well, and it's funny. That's all. Archer's funny. Watch it. And if you don't find it funny, we don't have a lot to talk about.
Or at the very least, less to talk about than had previously been believed.
You're listening to Binge or Cringe from high atop the Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry Podcast Center. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens. And I did complete all of Santa Clarita Diet.
I have still not get to finish season 3.
And in a way, it is forming a team Ghostbuster-esque in that
I'm going to warn you about invoking the word Ghostbuster.
I'm just saying they all wear the same jumpsuit.
We need to understand the regard.
All wear the same jumpsuit. That's all.
I'm just saying there. Like, it's
Ghostbuster-esque.
You're invoking jumpsuits. That name.
Just jumpsuits. So highly entertaining that. And I was actually in my ramble here. It seems to me something big should be coming out on Amazon Prime now. And all I know is the Lord of the Rings stuff. I'm not hearing of anything else.
I honestly, we need to hear less about it. Like, they need to, like, mythologize this. Like, you've got a property that is worth quite a bit there.
Mm-hmm.
And as I think you and I even discussed when we had brought in Game of Thrones, if there is going to be anything that is going to take the mantle that is passed whenever this show ends, Lord of the Rings is the obvious successor to it.
Hmm.
Amazon does not need to mess this up. And from the sound of it, they're spending a good deal of money on this show.
The movies that are trending, all of the Star Wars movies.
Well, Rise of Skywalker, which by the way, nine films into the Skywalker saga, shouldn't this be the fall of Skywalker? Like,
here's the thing. Does that mean Rey's a Skywalker? Or is it Kylo Ren? Are there two Skywalkers?
Well, he's a Solo. Well, technically, I guess he's a Skywalker.
He's a Skywalker. So, is it a good rise? Are you a good rise or a bad rise?
From a storytelling standpoint, I genuinely hope that Rey is not a Skywalker. Like,
because
there's not a whole lot that I loved about Last Jedi, but whenever Kylo reveals to her that her her parents were nobody. Like, I really kind of enjoyed that. Like, everybody does not need to be related to one of the characters in the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, and I don't want to admit this, like, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Leia are not going to be part of the Star Wars franchise, at least not in the incarnation or the way that we think about them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to have success outside of those characters, and I mean, none of these Star Wars films up to this point that are not directly linked to the original films have had that amount of success. You're going to have to build another franchise base, if you will. Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford are not going to live forever, sadly, and to much detriment. But I they're done with the franchise at this point. And making everybody one of their kids or, you know, their cousin or I don't think it's a good idea. And I really, out of the stuff that came out of Last Jedi, I would hope that they let that part stick.
I hope so as well. They are in the midst of working on Jack Ryan season 2. It will only be 8 episodes like season 1. If you haven't watched that on Amazon Prime yet, you should.
It's worth a watch.
First, though, watch the YouTube compilation of every time Jim looks at the camera, and then watch Jack Ryan.
I do think it's interesting that Jack Ryan is married to Mary Poppins. Like, that's a sentence I never thought I would get to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it have any kind of bearing or anything.
No. I have not yet watched the Amazon Prime show Hannah. The trailers were weird. It was, you see infants and then one of them's gone and it's something about babies and raising them and stuff. But in a sci-fi weird way, that's really all I got out of it.
It's a good sell right there. There's a baby and it was a weird sci-fi. Yeah.
Let's make that one. And The Tick, delightful and being done on Amazon Prime. It is very amusing. It does not have David Warburton.
I know that I get wrapped in the mouth for this all the time, but like Fox's very short-lived Tick, the live-action Tick, wow. Like,
yeah.
I really hate that that's not the incarnation that gained traction. Like, if you haven't, it premiered when I was in college, like, and all, I don't know, 5 of the episodes that Fox, like, put out there, it's really kind of incredible. And I hate that in much the same way that Firefly did not find an audience, neither did The Tick. Really, I just should not have watched things in the early
2000s. That's why I never watched Dollhouse.
Because everything that I enjoyed would just get canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's speaking to my more eclectic tastes or...
Everybody's wrong.
Or what. But every time I would find something, I'd just be like, guys, you need to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Before they could watch it, they'd just be like, and there is no more. And I'd be like, but I liked it. And are you going to greenlight another one of those NCISs? Like, how many are there now?
Do we really need all those police procedurals?
There's a whole lot of cities, and apparently there's an NCIS for every city in America.
Is there an NCIS or CSI Nashville yet?
I don't know that conclusively. I know there was a show called Nashville, but I don't think it had CSI before it.
No, it did not. I also did not watch that. But there you have it. So I am wondering what will entertain us over the summer, because Jack Ryan won't be out. House of Cards won't be out. It is but a memory.
I think there's going to be enough films out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a pretty rich film season. I am considering doing what you have done. I'm considering getting the movie thing.
What's the A-list?
Yeah, because I possibly will have more movie time and there'll be more movies to see.
The summer is kind of the I mean, you get to those points in, like, you know, January, maybe early February, where there's not a wealth of films. But like last summer when I started with the A-list. I mean, you had Solo, Skyscraper, Avengers Infinity War. I mean, it just every week there was something that could consume your mm-hmm. attention for at the bare minimum of 2 hours.
Easily. So there is that. How do you feel, because we're talking about streaming stuff, how do you feel about theaters making it more of a dining experience other than just munchies?
I think in order to pull people away from, like, okay, my setup at my house, like, I have a 4K 70-inch television. I have surround sound. Like, we've got high-speed internet on it. I can watch it.
Oh, did you set up those speakers?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
So they're awesome?
It's beyond, like...
I am pretty great.
I hate that my kids don't appreciate it more because, like, they didn't watch things from, like, a wood panel. They don't understand what I have. Like, they get to play, you know, their PS4 games.
They don't understand how I have gifted them in
their
lives.
They really don't. Like, this is just, they think this is what everyone has.
Oh, no.
Like, I want to build a time machine so I can take them back in time and just be like, these are the four video games I had.
Here, listen to that speaker.
Do you? Or, it's barely a speaker, like by the definition that I now say mm-hmm. speakers. Why do I want to leave the comfort of my home, like where I've got my couch? I can watch anything I've got in my fingertips.
And you can pause it if you have to take a break.
I think theaters have to entice me to leave that now because I love watching movies. The only reason or the only thing that they can give me conclusively is like, okay, we were talking about Avengers Endgame. Mm-hmm. I cannot watch that in 2 weeks at my house. And my anticipation for that is so great that I will leave my house mm-hmm. to see that. If you don't want to just wait for those events, your Star Wars, your Avengers, your Batman. If you want to entice me outside of those films for the ones that I have to watch mm-hmm. immediately, you've got to do something else. Like there are some 4D theaters in, I want to say it's like New York, LA has got some. I believe there's some in Florida. But basically, like what they do is when you're watching a chase scene in a film, whenever they start burning rubber, you'll start smelling burning rubber, like in that. Or if you're watching a film.
But do I want to?
I'm not saying it's appropriate for every film. Like, I don't want to go back and watch Labyrinth, and when they go through the bog of eternal stench, smell the eternal stench. Mm-hmm. But I think it's an interest. Like, it doesn't necessarily work for any film. Or like when you're.
I just want to say rodents of unusual size. Continue.
When we're in an Arctic setting, maybe you get like cold air blown in your face. I'm saying like. There have to be different things, different ways, because just having a film is no longer like rare. Like back in the day when televisions were not readily available in every household in America, that's the only way you could watch a movie. It wasn't going mm-hmm. to come to VHS, DVD, Blu-ray, digital. If you wanted to see that film, you had to see it in theater. It wasn't going to be at, you know, your Blockbuster or, you know, your Hollywood Video in 6 months. That's the only way you saw it. And you had to wait for the re-release of that film if you wanted to see it again. Like, I am spoiled in that I grew up in the VHS mm-hmm. era. So I got to relive those films over and over. Whereas in somebody that lived in the 50s or 60s, you didn't necessarily get to do that. Like, you couldn't watch, you know, E.T. or Indiana Jones or something like that in a couple of years or months in the comfort of your own home. Maybe it wasn't quite the same experience as it was at the theater, but I knew eventually I was going to be able to do that. Theaters don't have that distinction now where this is the only place you can get it. You can get it in 3 months, 4 months, mm-hmm. 6 months. So I think you've got to do something. And like, I've been tempted to get, you know, like a pizza or bagels with cheese or like a soft pretzel. I don't necessarily have to have that, But I see that theaters do need to do something in order to create a distinction now, just going like, you can do this here, you can do this here. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's what solves like the blending of like movie-going experience into the household, but you've got to throw some ideas out there. Otherwise, why am I paying that amount of money just to go see a movie that if I'll wait 4 months, I can watch at my house.
Mm-hmm.
I can let my entire family watch it for much cheaper. We can cook in the comfort of our own home, sit on our couches, and watch it there as many times as we want to. So I don't think necessarily that it's not gourmet quality like mm-hmm. pizza. Like it's not what you're doing for a fine dining experience.
It's like convenience store food.
Kinda, yeah.
But I wish, you know, sometimes movie theater popcorn is exceptional, and other times it's just not. It to be exceptional each time I get it.
You want a kind of a quality control.
I want quality. Yes, I do, seriously. Because there's something magical about movie theater popcorn that I have.
And it's synonymous with the movie going experience. It's like Doritos do not have the same like feeling. Like when I say there's a difference between popcorn, kettle corn popcorn, buttered popcorn, mm-hmm. and movie theater popcorn. Like it's enough that it's married to that.
Very much so.
To a certain degree.
So I just wish. I just wish. Because sometimes I'll even, when they're real busy, I'll look and see which one has just made the popcorn. And then I invariably get the one where half of it's like little pieces. And I know it's a free refill, but anyway.
It's almost like a wine tasting. You're just like, oh, what about it?
Yes.
What year is that one over there?
I mean, I really need to develop a relationship with someone who's working behind that so they can like skim the top off of this one, maybe
let
the top
me know.
Off of that one.
Just be like,
that's all.
Where's the good stuff?
That's all I want.
Which one's the good stuff? And they'll be like, well, that one over there was popped 3 minutes ago, and that butter over there has been heating. It has been simmering at a very robust rate.
I see.
That's what you're going to want.
And some of them get how to properly butter it. And some of them feel that the popcorn likes to swim. It does not. It likes a delicate dampness on the top layer.
You don't want cereal, is what you're saying.
No, I don't want cereal. All no. Right. Anyway, so interesting. I enjoy consuming media with the family together, and we do that a lot at dinner because it's the only time we are usually all able to be there.
Together simultaneously.
And we're not at the table. And part of me feels bad about that. But we talk through, the girls and I would talk through anything we want. So it's not like we're not talking to each other. It's just sometimes that's how we get to experience it. And
it's your communal experience.
And food and watching entertainment. I wish I never started eating when I sat down. It's just so, it's like, I should be eating something. I would enjoy this more if I was eating something.
Before I came up here today, we were watching Skyscraper on the TV. And like, it's hard for me. I don't know if the movie theater trained me to do that or if like I'm just a snacker or what. But like, I like eating while I'm watching movies.
I do too.
And it's certain kinds of food. Like, it's not, I don't want cereal to go with it. Usually it's something that I don't have to look down at to make sure that I'm doing correctly. I want to be able to experience my film, but I also want a handful of something that I can eat.
Yes. And grapes just doesn't work with it.
No, it's not like eating an apple during a movie. No. It's not the same. Like, I don't know particularly what like the ingredients that bring it all together. But it's different than like eating a plate of spaghetti.
And I don't necessarily feel this way with a TV show, unless it is something like Jack Ryan or the latest Sabrina or something, which is I'm a little more invested and I will watch several in a row, much like a movie. If we're just watching the latest Goldbergs, I don't feel the need.
I would argue that it might have something to do with the cinematic quality Like Jack Ryan.
Are we just discovering things about ourselves?
I think they're things we probably knew, but like we do have a podcast that we can explore things like this on. But I mean, like Jack Ryan feels like a movie to a certain degree, thanks in no small part to the fact that it used to be a film franchise. The Goldbergs is very much a sitcom. At no point do I ever confuse it for a movie. But there are television shows that very much blend, like Star Trek Discovery. It's probably a better quality than most of the Star Trek films that were released in the 80s. Like, it's one of those shows that, like, the sound quality, any of that, it really does make you forget that you're just watching a TV show. And we have been trained from very early ages that when watching a film, we should eat popcorn.
I know.
Or something of that nature, whereas in television shows did not necessarily train us to do that.
I have to Google this one thing, and then we'll just have to finish up, because...
What are we Googling? Like, is it the anticipation that you're wanting to?
I want to know why is, I mean, popcorn is the perfect go-to when you're watching a movie, and
I think it's not crunchy, so it doesn't create like an auditory like defect whenever you're doing it. You don't have to look at popcorn to eat it. Like,
in short, talkies and the Great Depression. Before the dawn of the talkies.
That really sounds like a book. Talkies and the Great Depression. How to eat snacky smalls, popcorn, and butter.
Popcorn was cheap, and it was sold by street vendors. And you would take it into the theater to see the silence because you just wouldn't. It was more of more like going to the opera, in that it was more of an event. And then the Great Depression hit when hardly anyone had any money, and talkies had just started. So you got 1927, 1929. So the street vendors said, hey, here's something super cheap that we can sell, that these people who are now the not so wealthy people are all coming to the theaters to forget their miserable, miserable lives. So popcorn moved in.
Theater, like, and when I say theater, I mean like live performance. Generally, you're not encouraged to eat or...
But why did everyone always have tomatoes? Why?
I think that might just be a narrative convention.
I see.
I don't know if there's a historical precedence for everyone throwing rotten vegetables at the stage.
Watching anything where there's a live performance that goes
awry. They start doing, boo, no, and they're like, oh, where's the tomato vendor?
I feel like everyone just, they packed vegetables with them. It's like, just in case, we have to throw it.
I don't know that was not the case, but I would argue it's probably not as prevalent as we have been led to believe through film and television.
Well, you say.
That's a documentary I'd watch.
Boo!
Boo!
I'm not a witch. I am not a witch. You should watch that too. Anyway, we're done with this for now. We've learned a lot about ourselves. We've learned this is how you get ants, and this is why we can't have nice things.
And
Archer's funny.
Well, we're still questioning. Was there a lot of rotten vegetables?
We'll Google that another time.
In the 30s and 40s, let's say.
Probably. Refrigeration really wasn't up to par.
Maybe that's why they're always rotten.
That's right. Huh. I just feel like...
Now, well, these aren't going to sell themselves. We should use them so they can throw them at actors
I
on the
feel
stage.
Like, so many doors have been opened in my mind today. It's like, oh, that makes sense. It must be true. Adam and I thought it. Let's not corroborate. Let's just go with it.
I don't know if that's going to hold any water right there. Jane and I thought it. It must be true.
We will now tell our children this. They will believe us. It will spread. Anyway, that's it. Thank you so much for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Craig.
Binge or Cringe, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, is a Hintz and Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.